You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome along to the FWA podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. Every single week on the FWA podcast, we get one of the leading football writers in the land to join us on the podcast. And this week is no different. Sam Norris in the chair, stepping in for Dave Carlin this week. And I'm delighted to say joining me on the line is the chief football writer for the Sunday People, Mr. Steve Bates. How are you, Steve?
Morning, Sam. Yes, man. Thank you. All good.
Good. It's been an interesting week. A week of contrasting fortunes for English sides, certainly in Europe, Steve. I mean, Leicester City, first of all, we've got to start with them making through to the Champions League quarter-finals against Sevilla. First of all, what did you make of their performance over two legs, given that the first leg was under Claudio Ranieri and there's no denying that they've looked better since he's departed, but he did lay the foundation in that first leg.
He definitely did, Sam. Yeah, you're quite right there. I mean, the away goal they got through Jamie Vardy that night absolutely proved to be crucial, and I think Claudio Ranieri, although he's gone now, does have to take some credit for that, because he's taken a fair old hammering in some sections of the media, and it's quite clear there was some problem there with his relationship with the players. But having said that, his part in Leicester's story will never ever be forgotten, and nor will his part in the Champions League story that Leicester are unfolding now. That will never be forgotten either.
Yeah, absolutely. How much do you read into the difference in the players since his departure? As I mentioned there, it's undeniable that they've looked rejuvenated since Claudio Ranieri was dismissed. Is that dismissal beginning to look more and more justified now? Because there was outcry from some football fans to sack a manager who'd achieved so much after just half a poor season, really. But is it beginning to look a little bit more justified?
I think so, and I was one of those, actually. I was probably in the minority, but I felt it was a justified move in the first place, because I think they were sinking fast, Leicester, under Claudio Ranieri. I don't know what had gone wrong, but clearly the players weren't with him. They didn't have the same vibe or desire or motivation or hunger, call it what you will, that they had last season when they won the Premier League. And I think they had to make a change. And I think the Thai owners, who came in for an awful lot of criticism, they were roundly kind of abused everywhere.
Yes.
For their decision. I think, wherever they are today, they'll be sat there thinking that was a justified move. And sometimes in business and in management, you've got to take tough decisions. And, I think everybody was looking at that decision on the basis of sentimentality, really, saying, oh, God, how can they sack a man who's led them to their greatest moment ever and probably the Premier League's greatest moment? But if things aren't going right after that, then you can't live in the past. And I'm afraid if Leicester had, I think, continued along that route with Ranieri, they'd probably have gone down. Of course, we'll never know. But the way Craig Shakespeare's come in and rejuvenated them, the players are obviously right behind him. And when you saw them against Seville the other night and in the subsequent games since Ranieri left, they've clearly got their motivation back, their hunger, and they're playing as they did when they won the title that year. And, I do have to think that this might be the end of the line for them in the Premier, in the Champions League. Because I think all the teams left in that are kind of the big guns, and I think Leicester have probably gone as far as they'll go. What a fantastic story, and if they can then follow that up with Premier League safety, which I'm certain they will do now, then they'll probably see it as a reasonably successful season.
Yeah, I think I'd definitely echo those sentiments. They seem to be playing with the tenacity that they had last season, certainly with Jamie Vardy closing players down and even to the point of closing the goalkeeper down and just putting pressure on the Sevilla defenders is something we haven't seen from him or Leicester this season. And as you rightly point out, they don't look like relegation candidates anymore. You can't really imagine them going down now. And in a results business, that's what's needed, I suppose, isn't it? You mentioned there that the quarterfinals may well be the end of the road for them. There are no easy games at this stage. Who do you think would be the most favourable tie for Leicester to get in the Champions League draw?
Well, I think they certainly want to avoid Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. There are some big teams in there, aren't there? I mean,
yes.
I did see Gianluigi Buffon from Juventus saying that they would want to avoid Leicester. But listen, whoever they face in the next round, Sam, it's going to be a heck of a task, because the big boys are out to play in this round, and I don't know what the odds are for Leicester going through, but you know, it'd be a brave man to stick a big bet on them to go through.
Yes, absolutely. It certainly would. Let's look at Manchester City as well then, Steve. They were knocked out of the Champions League this week at the hands of free-scoring Monaco. It finished 6-6 on aggregate. They were knocked out via the away goals rule. Seemed to play reasonably well over the two legs, but they'll be bitterly disappointed not to convert a two-goal advantage from the first leg into qualification. What did you make of them in France on Wednesday evening?
Well, Pep Guardiola's come in for a certain amount of criticism for his tactics on this one in the return leg in France. And I have to say, I'm with those critics because I thought it was City played with a naivety, really. The game was there to be won. They had a holding a two-goal lead, as you rightly say, going into that game. Then they found themselves holding the whip hand again, you know, having slipped behind to a goal on the night. They then sort of got themselves back into the game. But, you know, there's a time and a place to play expansive football and attacking football. And while you have to applaud Guardiola for his kind of philosophy about always wanting to pile forward and score goals, I think there are moments where you just have to lock the game down. I mean, Jose Mourinho, for instance, would never have countenanced his team playing in such an open fashion when there's so much at stake. You know, City just needed to shut up shop for 20 minutes and they would be into the quarterfinals. With a good chance of going even further in that competition, having reached the semi-finals last time. So, you know, I can understand the criticism of Guardiola. At the moment, I don't think he's got the players, nor the particularly defensive players, to play that way, to play such a risky strategy.
Yes.
When the stakes are so high, and all you need to do is kind of maybe just shut up shop and be a bit sensible and apply some common sense for 20 minutes in a game. His team didn't seem to do that, and they paid a heavy, heavy price.
Yeah, correct. And we've seen all season from Pep Guardiola's side, he wants his team to play with the ball on the deck. He wants to build from the back. But with the personnel that's in there, Steve, sometimes it might not be the pretty thing to do, but the right thing to do is just to get rid. And sometimes they seem to invite pressure by that insistence to try and have the keeper pass the ball out to one of the defenders. And then they try and play from the back, but they always seem to be inviting pressure for me. And they haven't perhaps got those cultured defenders that style of play maybe demands.
No, I don't think Rose Ed's in Pep Guardiola's
no, exactly.
vocabulary, is it? He likes his players to play out from the back, hence his love of John Stones, which is great in a way because, you know, we want to encourage them to play football. But as I said before, there are moments when you do that and there are moments when you have to be more pragmatic and practical and just defend and hold what you have, basically. And City didn't do that the other night and, you know, they're out of the tournament.
Absolutely. The final English side that was in European action this week, Manchester United qualifying for the next round of the Europa League against Rostov on Thursday night. They sort of toiled and made hard work of it for two legs, but made it through anyway. This is an excellent opportunity, of course, for Champions League qualification next year via winning the Europa League. With Roma knocked out as well, it looks Manchester United for the taking, does the Europa League. I read your piece on Paul Pogba yesterday, Steve. He's becoming a real enigma now.
He is, yeah, and you know, it's. I'm absolutely certain. I'll preface what I'm going to say, but by saying I'm absolutely certain he will come good. But at the moment, it's just not happening for the lad. I don't know whether it's a combination of trying too hard. He's trying to justify his huge world record, 89 million price tag, but it's just not happening for him on the pitch. And obviously, I was at the game last night, and you know, first few seconds, he kind of tried one of his flicks and it didn't come off and he ended up having to foul somebody to get to retrieve the ball. And it just went from bad to worse last night, obviously culminating him getting injured shortly after half-time. So that was a blow for him. But, you know, all eyes are on him. And, you know, when you transfer to that kind of money, that's always going to happen. And I think he struggled to... Italian football slower paced. I think he struggled to adapt to the fact that quite often when he gets the ball, there were two or three players ratting around him, trying to nick it off him. You know, the Premier League is a whole different ball game in terms of energy and intensity. And I think people, you know, are kind of targeting his kind of lack of confidence at the minute. And I just think he needs probably a run of decent games, a couple of goals under his belt, and he'll probably be better. But, you know, this season's not going as planned for him. And he's having a lot of minutes on the pitch as well. You know, Jose Mourinho sticking with him. And to be fair to the lad, he's not hiding. I watched him last night, you know, when things weren't going well. He was always demanding the ball still, which is always a good sign. But at the moment, it's just not quite happening for him.
Yeah, correct. And obviously, Jose Mourinho has felt the need to come out and defend his player as well over the over the last few days and weeks, which I thought was interesting. And I suppose he does make a lot of valid points, Mourinho. It isn't Pogba's fault that he's transferred for this amount of money, but as a result, there are certain expectations on the player.
There are, and listen, he claimed that it was an envy culture.
Yes, jealousy
of people sort of envious of the kind of riches that Pogba's got as the world's most expensive player. I'm not quite totally sure about that, to be honest. You know, other big money players have managed to cope with that. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo for starters. So you know, it can be done. It's just the way of the world and human nature, isn't it? When somebody gets transferred for that amount of money, people, the expectation on you is immediately raised through the roof, really. And obviously he's playing for the biggest club in England, so you know, the spotlight and the intensity is always on him. You know, I can understand Mourinho wanting to defend his player, but I thought he was slightly kind of off mark on that one, Mourinho, and also the other night at Chelsea, where he claimed, you know, Pogba had a fantastic game, and clearly N'Golo Kante kind of ran rings around him, really, in that midfield.
Yes, correct. In terms of Manchester United, they're 6-4 to win the Europa League, 7-2 for Lyon, Celta Vigo 7-1, Schalke 8-1, 9-1 Ajax, Besiktas 10-1, Anderlecht 14-1, and Genk in the betting at 25-1. Of those clutch of teams, Steve, Manchester United worthy favourites. And does the Europa League look their best chance by a long way to get Champions League football next year? They've got a couple of games in hand in the Premier League, and they are only 6 points off the pace. But do you think there'll be a real impetus now on winning the Europa League? And of course, it's a European trophy at the end of the day as well.
Absolutely, Sam. I'm absolutely certain that Jose Mourinho has targeted that privately with his players. They will know that's their best route in. You know, they're facing a fixture pile-up, really, with their Premier League games that need to be rearranged as well as a very hard run-in. You know, I think they play Arsenal and Tottenham in the closing sort of few 2 or 3 weeks of the season away, both those games. They've got to play Chelsea at Old Trafford. They've also got to go to Manchester City. So they've got some very difficult games in the league. So it does look as though the Europa League is their best route through. I can understand why the bookmakers are making them favourites to win that tournament. Mm. But there are some dangers lying there. You've just outlined Lyon and Schalke are two clubs who have got sort of short odds to win that tournament as well. So it's not going to be easy for United by any means, but I definitely think that Mourinho will have his players focused to win that, or certainly to get to that final in Stockholm and give themselves a good chance of, as you say, winning another European trophy, which is part of Manchester United's kind of great history, and also, more valuably, getting into the Champions League next season.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's move on to some of the weekend's football. Then we'll look at the five televised fixtures across the weekend, beginning with Saturday's early kickoff at 12:30. We go to the Hawthorns for West Bromwich Albion versus Arsenal. It is 4-1 for West Brom. The draw here is 14-5. 8-11 about Arsenal. A whole host of enhanced odds offers on the William Hill website if you want to get involved with that. And I suppose here, Steve, it's West Brom having another West Brom season. They're up to ninth. Probably going to finish in and around that mid-table. It has to go down as another successful season for West Brom. Arsenal are outside of the top four, which for many fans for so long, the top four hasn't even been good enough. So you can understand the real furore that's building up. And it's become a very, very difficult working environment, I think, for Arsene Wenger. He's vastly experienced, but the Wenger out bandwagon is in full force again this season. And he's being put under real pressure. And this is another vital game for him.
Yeah, and you know, you're quite right that the backdrop around Arsenal seems to be one of, you know, Wenger, the anti brigade sort of attacking him at every opportunity. Then he's got people defending him. It doesn't make for an environment, a comfortable environment to work in, really. And you just wonder when these things start to happen, you know, whether it is just best to kind of draw a line under it, because you can see this going on next season if Arsenal sort of don't have a good start to the season, or they lose some games, or, you know, once again, the whole thing's going to spin up and go out of control again. And, you know, it's not the environment that's conducive to a team doing well. So you're quite right in that respect. But again, you know, we shouldn't dismiss what Arsene Wenger's achieved at Arsenal. They haven't won trophies, the big trophies, in the last few years. That's what the fans crave. His record of getting them into the top four is magnificent. But as you quite rightly say, they're outside the top four at the moment. And even a win at West Brom on Saturday won't put them into the top four. So there is work to be done there. And they are facing the possibility of not finishing in that top four. I suppose the good thing in their favour is that, having reached sort of more or less 40 points, West Brom seem to have sort of gone on holiday for a while. They've lost the last couple of games, haven't they?
Yes.
You know, from being a very difficult, hard-to-beat side, you know, they're looking a bit vulnerable at the moment, and I'm sure that Arsene Wenger will be targeting that. I don't think Tony Pulis has suffered three straight league defeats without his team scoring a goal for a couple of years, but you know, I think Arsenal will fancy themselves to win this one and get a bit of confidence back.
Okay. Arsenal then taken to win that game against the West Brom side, who are possibly looking on the beach already. They are in that clutch of teams who are probably going to be marooned in mid-table. We go to the late game then on Saturday. This is a 5:30 kickoff between Bournemouth and Swansea. Bournemouth in the betting here at 6-5, 23-10 the draw, and Swansea are in the betting at 5-2. Goes without saying, Eddie Howe has done a tremendous job at Bournemouth since they've been promoted, Steve. And Paul Clement has come into Swansea and really, really steadied the ship. There'll be two managers who I think will be in hot demand in years to come. And both sides have alleviated some sort of relegation worries over the last few weeks. But this still remains a big game for those teams down the bottom.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Paul Clement, they talk about the bounce effect, don't they, of a new manager.
Yes.
He's definitely kind of provided that for Swansea, because at one point I think everybody's thinking Swansea looked dead and buried, really, and that it was who were the other two teams going to join them. But they've managed to claw their way out into, I think they're up into 16th position at the moment, so they've given themselves a real fighting chance. So this is a key game as well, because Bournemouth are only just, I think, 3 points above them in the table at the moment. So, and we have seen before, haven't we, at this stage of the season, as we move towards April, teams tend, you know, can get sucked down into the relegation fight when you think they're safe. So, you know, this will be a game where both sides will be absolutely fully focused on trying to get the 3 points. And Bournemouth obviously will fancy themselves. Eddie Howe, as you rightly say, has done a fantastic job there. But they will fancy themselves at home, I'm absolutely certain, particularly after scoring a few goals last week.
Yeah, they can be pretty free scoring when they want to at home. Are you envisaging a home win here then, Steve?
Yeah, I would think that Bournemouth will just about sneak that.
Okay, Bournemouth then the betting at 6-5, 23-10 the draw, and Swansea are 5-2 for that late tea time game on Saturday. We go to Sunday's fixtures now. Three televised fixtures for us to look at on Sunday, starting with the 12:30 kickoff at the Riverside. Middlesbrough entertaining Manchester United. Borough in the betting at 9-2. The draw is 5-2. Man United are priced up at 3-4. Middlesbrough have obviously parted company with Ita Karanka this week, Steve. What did you make of that sacking? They are in a pretty poor position in the league, down to all the way down to 19th now.
They are, and it seems to have been kind of a very kind of fractious relationship, really, with sort of Karanka and the fans at times. And also, you know, we saw him walk out again last season, didn't he, on the team at one point when they were looking to get promotion.
Yes.
So obviously things have not been right there for some time, you know, behind the scenes. And I have to say, it's a strange moment to choose to part company with your manager, particularly if you've, you know, got faith in him. He's done quite a good job at Borough. You know, he got them promotion, and until the last few weeks, they looked as though they were going to be pushing on for a mid-table finish. But you know, as I mentioned before, you sometimes get teams who kind of have a poor run of games and they find themselves in the mire. And Middlesbrough are one of those teams that have done that. And, you know, they're facing quite a difficult game against Manchester United, because United will be an attacking sort of threat for them. Although, you know, United have obviously got their own problems at the minute with quite a few injuries and suspensions and what have you. You'd still fancy United to go there and win. Although Jose Mourinho, after the Europa League game against Rostov, was saying that, you know, given all their problems and how the fixture list has been unkind to them, the schedulers have not done them many favours, that maybe a draw would be a very good result for United. But I'm absolutely certain United will be going all out for a win. So it'll be interesting to see whether Middlesbrough can get that Swansea bounce effect and pick themselves up. And you know, if they were to do that against United, I'm sure that would give them a huge confidence boost.
Absolutely, yeah. United in the betting then at 3-4. In terms of the next Middlesbrough manager market, Steve Agnew is the 6-4 favourite for this. Nigel Pearson 3-1. Gus Hiddink in the betting at 5-1. 8-1 for Roy Hodgson. 10-1 Alan Pardew, Claudio Ranieri, Steve McClaren. Bigger prices for the rest of them. Steve Agnew there in the betting at 6-4. Steve, it seems to be the way now that they give it to an interim manager who's been at the club. We've seen Craig Shakespeare do it to great effect towards the end of the season. I always feel that maybe given that what happened with Karanka last year, the owners have maybe decided he's not the man you want in the trenches, if you like. Steve Agnew at 6-4, do you think he'll be the likely man to come in at least until the end of the season?
Well, yeah, it's looking that way, isn't it, Sam? And you're quite right. You know, they maybe would go for someone at this stage of the season who knows what's been going on at the
yes.
club, who knows the players. You know, it's always a big risk if you draft somebody in from outside who's got no... you know, insight into what's been happening at the club, and you're pitching them into a critical part of the season with 10 or 11 games left and expecting them to perform a miracle. So probably the sensible move would be, if they've got confidence that Steve Agnew can sort of do the job and has got the support of the players, it would be probably a sensible move to get him in and then maybe just get some stability, and then if he manages to keep them up, have another look at it in the summer.
Yes, I think I'd agree with that. Steve Agnew then 6-4 in the betting to be the next Middlesbrough manager. Let's go to the 2:15 game now on Sunday, which is Tottenham Hotspur entertaining Southampton. 8-11 about Spurs, 13-5 for the draw, and it's 9-2 for Southampton. Spurs obviously will be without the talismanic Harry Kane for this match. Obviously, he's going to be a huge miss, Steve. That goes without saying. But have they got enough striking power elsewhere to deal with Harry Kane missing? I mean, if Vincent Janssen is the like-for-like replacement, you sort of start to worry, don't you?
Well, you do, and this is the area where Spurs really have been weak and lacking, really, in terms of you know, when you look at the other rivals in the top five or six there, that the other clubs seem to have more striking options than Tottenham do, and Harry Kane's the one player they could have least done without losing at this point in the season, when obviously. You know, not only do Spurs want to keep the pressure on Chelsea, but they also want to cement their place in what is a very competitive top four. So it's a big blow for Pochettino to be losing Kane at this point. Can Janssen step up? Not quite so sure. He's not really sort of done that so far, although, you know, the players were clearly very delighted to see him score against Millwall
yes.
in the FA Cup last week. So he's obviously got a lot of goodwill around him, but you know, filling Harry Kane's boots is a big job, and you know, Southampton are no pushover. They'll be you know, striding themselves to cement a higher finish in the table. So it's going to be a kind of tough afternoon for Spurs, and you wouldn't really bank against maybe Southampton nicking a point.
Okay, Spurs then in the betting at 8-11. Does look a little bit short without Harry Kane. 13-5 is the price of the draw, and it's 9-2 for Southampton. The final televised fixture of the weekend then is Manchester City versus Liverpool, which comes up at 4:30 on Sunday. The betting here has Manchester City, the even money favourites. Draw 13-5, Liverpool 14-5. Obviously, Manchester City will be looking for a response, having gone out at the hands of Monaco during midweek. But Liverpool have this funny habit, Steve, of playing much better against the top six sides in the division. They've got a great record against the teams in and around them.
They have. They're top of that little mini league against each
yes.
other, aren't they, in that top six? They've had some really great results. And, of course, I think they beat Manchester City at Anfield on New Year's Eve in quite a kind of a close game, and you know, you would think there will be a threat again at City. They will certainly match City for energy and intensity. You know, Klopp and Guardiola like a high energy pressing game. They like their teams to play high up the pitch. So, you know, there could be a few goals in this one, because I'm absolutely certain, as you say, that City will be stung by their Champions League exit against Monaco. They will want to put that right. And City have shown signs recently that, you know, when they get in the attacking groove, they can be devastating, especially with, you know, Sane and Aguero and Raheem Sterling in that attack, David Silva behind them. And Kevin De Bruyne, they've got a lot of attacking quality, City, and I'm certain they will try to target what can sometimes be a vulnerable Liverpool defence. But you know, there could be a few goals in this one because I'm absolutely certain both teams will be going to win. There'll be no shutting up shop for me, the manager, and obviously there's only a point between them in the Premier League in that third, fourth spot. So you know, whoever wins that could very well end up in second position after the day's games.
Yeah, it could well be a massive game then for both teams. If you do think it promises goals, over 2.5 goals is 8-13 in the betting with us here at William Hill. Over 3.5 is available at 13-8. Are you sitting on the fence in terms of a prediction for this one, Steve? Or
I fancy Man City to win this one, Sam, to
right.
be honest. Yeah, I think Manchester City will win it. I think they've got the firepower. I think what's happened to them this week will be added motivation for them. And I think, you know, Pep Guardiola will be demanding a response from those players. And it's really, I suppose, it'll be a tale of two attacks, I guess.
Yes, it certainly will. Hopefully it will be a goal-filled game. Manchester City then at even money to get the better of Liverpool, who are 14-5, and the draw is available at 13-5. That about wraps up then the FWA podcast for this week. Do follow Steve on Twitter. It's at @sbates_people. You can follow myself at @samnorris_. Do follow at William Hill as well. And check out the William Hill website for all the best bets across the weekend. All the best odds will be on there. Your odds as well, where you can request any bet that you like. If you just tweet it to at William Hill, our traders will try their very best to price it up for you. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast then, Steve. It's been an absolute pleasure, and enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thanks very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.